Good evening to the church family. Amen. And surely we are here because I believe that deep in our hearts, we want more of God. And even as Jesus responded to Satan, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone. And tonight, I believe we're here because we want some more bread. And with that in mind, this is why this revival has been, amen, designed, so that we can, amen, receive bread from heaven tonight. And I pray that we all come here with a measure of expectation that we're going to receive from God. And I believe that God has given unto the man of God tonight a word for us. Praise God, and he's no stranger to this body. Amen. He's someone that I admire, that I love, that I model after. And no doubt, I'm also delighted to have, he has with him tonight, his wonderful wife. Hope to also hear from her as well. So why don't you just, amen, just please stand up, amen. Let's recognize the man of God and put your hands together for our honorable Dr. Hugh Nelson. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Let's give the Lord a praise offering tonight. The next hand you shake could be the hand of your Savior. So good to be with you tonight. Sure, always a pleasure to have my brothers to accompany us as we travel. Also good to have my wife here tonight. I'm going to have Di to just come and just greet the congregation before we share the word of the Lord. Let's welcome her as she comes.
Amen, amen, amen. What an awesome God tonight.
Hallelujah.
It is such an honor to be here. I want to greet your pastor, Bishop Eric Joseph, who we have known ever since we came here 11 years ago and have been working with him, his wife, and the children, and all of you wonderful brethren. What an awesome privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight. As I drove in, and I began to think of so many people, even right now, who are on their last breath. But God has given us the opportunity to once again to assemble together. I do not take it for granted. It's an honor to be with my church brothers and Sister Paula, as usual, and all of you. And I want to say tonight, it's no time to look back. When you look on what is happening all around us, the church, we're on the final lap. Make sure that your calling and election is sure. Make sure that you and I are so focused on God that we will not be distracted by the spirit that is in the air. So tonight we open up our hearts to be revived, to get a fresh word from the Lord, because surely the church is on the move to meet the hand, to shake the hand of the Savior. God bless you, and it's an honor again to be here. God bless you.
Praise his wonderful name. Surely want to greet your pastor and his family, as well as Pastor Ojo. I always get your name wrong. Ojo, okay. And all the wonderful members of this church. Such a joy to be here tonight. Revival is the time when the church pauses from business as usual. If you look at most churches today, you'll discover that there are a lot of churches that are busy. I was speaking with one pastor the other day, and when he began to tell me of all the things they were doing, they had church almost every day. They had ladies' meetings, men's meetings, youth meetings. But you realize it's not how busy you are. What is important is that whatever we're doing is building us in the faith. We also need to recognize it's not enough just to be in church. We're called to lead our families to the kingdom. And so I'm really happy to see all of our youngsters. It's a good sign because it says the church is building for the future. I want to just share a few words with you. I surely have appreciated the friendship of your pastor and have full confidence that what God has begun in this church, he will complete it. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the hearts of the Lord what God has in store. And I believe that God has a great future for Church Avenue. Church of God. Can somebody say amen? Do you really believe it tonight? Let us stand together and turn our Bibles to the book of Job. The book of Job. Praise God. I am praying and trusting the Lord that in the near future that you won't be meeting on this side of the wall. I'm anxious to see you on the other side of this wall. And we believe that God has given this church everything you need. We can no longer pause and hope that somebody outside does what God has called us to do. And I'm believing the Lord. Cleveland can do their part. The headquarters in New York can do their part. But there's a role that only the members of this church can do. Nobody can do it for you. But I want you to understand that I've learned that when you put God first and trust God, God does the impossible. Now, in verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, thou Job fear God for naught. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and had burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans came out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they're all dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Our Heavenly Father, we have come as your children. We're grateful, Lord, for your words. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for your presence. Now, Heavenly Father, would you feed us? speak to our hearts, oh God, and cause us to recognize that regardless of what's going on in this world today, you are still in control. Hallelujah. We bless your name tonight, Father. God, I ask and pray that every ear in this house that Satan has erected, that this night you will bring down every work of the enemy. God, where the enemy has used discouragement, where the enemy has used affliction, where the enemy has used a loss of faith to undermine the faith of your children, tonight in the name of Jesus, by the authority of your words, we bind the forces of the enemy and we set at liberty, God, that you may do the work you desire to do. And we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. I want to talk to you very simply on the first night on this revival. Simply phrase, keep the faith. Tell your neighbor to keep the faith. Oh, by the way, I surely want to salute the ministry of these young men to the site. Always great to see men in church. I refuse to believe the lie that our men are not interested in God. I refuse to believe that lie. And I believe that God is raising up a group of men who will be head of their homes and will raise their children in the fear of the Lord. So we salute you, brothers, and surely appreciate the ministry tonight. We are living in perilous times. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. And in order for us to understand that we're in those times, the Bible says, and in those times, men shall become lovers of ourselves. Men will stop worshiping God and worship the creature. We'll get to a time when there shall be wars and rumors of wars, and even in the house of God, we will turn the doctrines of God and lift that which is of man rather than God. The Bible says in the last days, there will be contrary spirits. That even in the house of God, folks who consider themselves believers will pull to themselves teachers teaching strange doctrines. And in other words, there's going to come a time where there will still be a church even after the rapture. I want you to understand, after the rapture is over, there's still going to be some folks showing up for church. After the rapture, there's still going to be some church buildings that are open for business. And so here's what Jesus says, I'm going to come for a church out of a church. What does that simply mean? That there are two churches. So regardless of what label we may call ourselves, I thank God for the church of God, and I thank God for our heritage, and I thank God for what he has taught us. But you do know that there's no church of God territory in heaven. You do know there's no Baptist territory in heaven. You know that there's no Methodist territory in heaven. In other words, heaven is prepared for all of God's children. And so regardless of whether you're a Baptist or Church of God or Methodist, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on your way to heaven. And so here's what happens. The reality is that there are literally two churches. Every time you and I come to church, there are two churches. In other words, not everyone who is in the building is going to heaven. I want you to understand, every time you come to church, not everybody comes to church because they want to go to heaven. Oh, so there is it's important that we recognize the times in which we live. It is important that there is a continual hunger for more of God. It's important when the church puts a pause on the activities and say to the believers, come, let us get revived. Because revival is not for the sinners, revival is for the saints. And we can get to a place where church becomes just mediocre. Where church becomes just the activities we do. But I don't know about you, I am hungry to see a move of God. We live in a time and age we know how to. We have more educated preachers than we have ever had. We have more skilled musicians than we have ever had. We have better church buildings than we have ever had. But something is missing. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to take his rightful. Oh, education is good, and I encourage education, but nothing can replace the anointing of God. And we come to a place where if you're not careful, we can do right church as usual, and the Holy Ghost is a million miles away. That's why we need discernment. That's why we need to know when to try the Spirit. When we recognize what Spirit is the word. So the whole point from the beginning is that there are two churches, and we need to make sure we're in the right one. So the Bible tells us of a man by the name of Job. If you look at the way the Bible describes him, the Bible says that Job was a man who served God. Notice the word he used. He was a righteous man who feared God. And the word, the King James word eschewed, but it's really the same word as to shun evil. Job was a righteous man who feared God and shunned evil. He was perfect and upright. So here's what happens. The Bible is saying that here's a man who literally had a blameless testimony. A man who walked morally upright. A man who had a desire. Now, I refuse. It's amazing because we live in a time and age where folks have bought into the lie that you can't live saved. Even in the church. We say, oh Lord, you know, we sin in words, in thoughts, and deed. And yes, you're right, we sin. But here's what happens. God sent his son Jesus Christ to the cross, who brought the power of sin over our lives. And so here's God saying, raising up a man by the name of Job. And the Bible says he lived righteous. I don't care what they say on TBN. I don't care what they say down the road. It is possible to live a righteous life. It is possible to live a morally upright life. And we need to challenge the church that righteousness takes its rightful place in the house of the Lord. Amen. Job was upright. When the world was bent on doing their own thing, Job had a desire to live for God. Regardless of what the White House says, regardless of what the mayor says, regardless of what the governor says, if God says it is a sin, it is a sin. We don't go by what's politically correct. We go by what God has said. It is amazing and almost frightening as a pastor when you listen to Christian ministry today that have erased the word sin. And now we have raised up a new church that says to people, you can enjoy your best life right now. We say to folks that you don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to worry about life after you die. You don't have to worry about heaven, because everything God has for you, you can get it right now. It is a lie from the pits of hell. If there one, you hear now even churches say that God is not going to send you to hell. I'm here to say to you, friends, if there is no hell, Jesus went to the cross for nothing. He went to the cross so you and I don't have to go to hell, but we don't have the luxury of creating a new doctrine where sin is pushed to the side. See what happens? Job lived upright. Job walked morally upright in a society that was ungodly. If there is ever a time that challenge is placed before the church, how different do we live? I was watching the news as they were interviewing a pastor of a fairly large church, and they asked the question, CNN asked the question, what's your position in homosexuality? And the pastor says, well, you know, Jesus didn't really make a big deal about homosexuality. And if Jesus did not make a big deal about homosexuality, who am I? Now, I want you to understand that this is a church that still stands with the Bible open. That's the times in which we live. The time in which we live is where our children are confused. And as I said to my congregation a couple weeks ago, that if God does not judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, because we're living right in a time. We are living in a time where the perversion has become the acceptable way of life. Nobody wants to say sin anymore. Oh my God, we have come to a time and an age where even in the house of God, we give this impression that everything goes. But I'm here to tell you, you can come to church, and if you don't watch over your soul, you can end up in the same place where the idolaters and fornicators end up. There is a way, the Bible says, that seems right unto a man. It looks right. It feels right, but the Bible says the end thereof is the way of destruction. We need to take the word of God and speak boldly the word of God. We hear preachers saying, well, even saints will fail. But I'm here to tell you, church, that we need to go back to the word of God. We need to go back to the old landmark. We need to say, let righteousness, let God exalt righteousness in this land. You see what happens is, and the Bible says that Satan presented himself. Satan presented himself with the sons of God before God. Now, this is really interesting, because you see, the interesting thing is that prior to the death and resurrection, it appears that God would allow Satan to show up. And the Bible says Satan showed up with the sons of God. I'm here to tell you that Satan knows how to show up in church. Satan knows how to quote scriptures. Satan knows how to sing the songs. Satan knows how to give a little dance. Oh, not every dance is from God. Oh my God, it's amazing. When you watch some of these awards, BET Awards and gospel, isn't it ironic that we take the things from the world and we put the church version, and so whatever the world does, we do a church correlation. And so we do our awards, and some of those folks, they have no testimony, they have no conviction, but they know how to sing gospel songs. And I'm here to tell you, they don't live right, but they can take a song and they can sing it. And oh my Lord, it's amazing. We have made even church entertainment. So therefore, we talk about gospels awards, and we buy their LP, we buy their CDs, and we buy their recording. But the truth is, they see us as a market. And I've come to realize that whatever spirit is over that song. Oh, here, you can't worship with everything. Because you see, you got to know what comes. Oh, I love the contemporary gospel. We have different age groups in church. And so we have to have the Amazing Grace group, who believe that they can only worship on that style, and then you have another one that's on the Kirk Franklin style, and you have another one, and so after a while we have different kinds of genre that we respond to. No, when we were young, and we used to, when they started singing even reggae gospel, our older brethren refused to sing it. They says, we know that it's more than just the music. It's what spirit behind the music. And so what ends up happening is that we have just taken everything that comes and has a stamp of gospel on it, and without discernment, we allow the devil to speak into our spirits. You got to know what you're exposing yourself to. And so not every song that sounds good is really healthy for your spirit. And so what happens is we have come to a place where we should respect the different age groups. But the truth is, you pull some of those old hymns, and you pull some of those songs that we sang about the blood and the songs that challenge our spirit. It's more than just singing for entertainment. It speaks to your soul and it reminds you you're on the journey. Oh my God, it's wonderful to sing the lovely songs, but we need to know what's feeding our spirits. And so not every person who shows up at church shows up to worship. Because the Bible says, and Satan showed up also. And when Satan showed up, and you've got to understand, you can't worship beside every person. It's amazing. Even in church, sometimes you're trying to focus. You're trying to hear the preacher saying, and somebody's flipping your note and trying to distract you. You have to know sometimes when to shift so you can be focused. Satan showed up. Could I dare suggest that sometimes Satan shows up at church? You'd be amazed what contrary spirits show up in church. I could tell you, so I'm the son of a pastor. I grew up in church. I've seen some crazy stuff in the name of God. Oh, I saw two sisters got into a fight one night in church. I don't know whatever was going on, but one started speaking in tongues and walked by the other one and jabbed her in the side. And the other woman started speaking in tongues, went after her right in church. See, not everything that shows up in church. I have seen some contrary spirits show up at church. Oh my God, that's why it is so important. I challenge all folks to say, when you come into the house of the Lord, you must know how to reverence the house of God. You must know how to respect the house of God. Oh my Lord on mercy. It is amazing. There was a time that you could pull a person aside and correct them, and they would say, thank you, Pastor. Nowadays, they look you in the face and they suggest, who are you? Come and correct me. Oh, we have some spirits in the house of God. We have some rebellious spirits. We have some disobedient spirits. Oh, I'm here to tell you, sometimes you got to say, I said, because you can't have rebellion up. You see, you have to understand. Whoever gets up to participate in the service, we encourage them. You're going to play. You need to pray before you play. I know it's nice to be good and it's nice to be skilled, but you better have the anointing upon that kid. Oh, it's wonderful to play and it's beautiful, but there's something about the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that brings deliverance. It's the anointing that set people free. Oh, it's not about just entertaining. It's the anointing. And sometimes the devil shows up in the church. And you have to be bold enough to discern the Spirit and call it, oh my Lord, have mercy. That's why when you're called to be a pastor, you can't be afraid of people. Because folks will look you in the face and dare you to correct them. But you see what happens is, if you don't, the Bible says when you correct, you should always correct in love. But if you don't correct, you know what happens? The same spirit moves from one to the next person. Oh my, it's wonderful for you to have the gift and you can sing. But if you don't have the right spirit, it's wonderful for you to do things. And after, you know, sometimes we believe that the church can't function. No, not this church. Not this church. Sometimes we get this attitude that we believe they can do it without me. Well, I have news to tell you, honey. If you think you can't do it, if the church can't do it without you, God will raise up a prostitute. God will raise up a drug dealer. God will raise up somebody off the street who you think, oh my God, it is a wonderful thing that God can use you. But when you get to this idea that God can't do it without you, you're on the verge of self-destruction. See what happens is, and the devil showed up. And here's the wonderful thing about God. And God asked the devil, have you considered my servant Job? When was the last time God showed off on you? When was the last time God was so impressed with your sincerity that he said to the devil, have you looked at Church Avenue, Church of God? Have you seen some faithful people? God says to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil looks back and says, now God, you know it's not a fair question, because the only reason Job is serving you is because you have built a hedge around him. Oh my God, we could dance here tonight. When you see God and you put God first, there's a wall around you. Oh my God, the devil can't come now you're dwelling. Here's what the devil says. You have built a wall around him and around his possession and around his family. What's the devil saying? He's saying to every believer, when you put God first, there is a protective wall around you that not even the devil can touch. Now,
yes, Lord.
I remember when I just started pastoring my first church. Young kid trying to pastor folks who could be my grandparents. And I remember two of my seniors. I could always tell when they were upset, because they stopped tithing. I could always tell when my seniors were upset, because one would decide not to tithe and she would tell the others, I'm not tithing, so you better not tithe. And so all this group just hold their tithe. And so she asked me, called me to a meeting. And so I got in my car and I drove over to where she lived and sat there and, you know, how is everything? I'm here. How can I help you? And she gave me that look that says, you're not doing pastoring right. And then in the midst of that, she looks at me and there were some issues that I had tried to correct her and she was still mad. You know, there's some folks hold anger, hold malice like a mule. I mean, still in church, still speaking in tongues, but hold on. And she was holding on to the malice. And she says, and so she dropped the hint that she's still upset. And then this is where the clincher came. She looked at me and she says, you know, it doesn't take much to destroy a pastor. I'm going to confess to you that when she said those words to me, I felt fear. Because you do understand that when you serve in a public role, anybody can criticize you. And anybody can make innuendos. Anybody can say. So you see, it's amazing. That's why I say to believers, when you are mature, you cover your pastor. When you are mature, you cover the ministry. Why? Because if the devil wants to destroy this church, he doesn't come after you, honey. If he wants to destroy this church, you know who he comes after? He doesn't come after. You see, when you want to kill a tree, you don't cut the branch. When you want to kill a tree, you don't go up and trim it. You go for the root. And so how do you sketch a church? You destroy the head. And when the head is destroyed, the sheep begins to scatter. Oh, you don't understand. My God, I wish every time I get a chance to say to a church, your best gift to your pastor is not a salary, it's not some benefits. The best gift you can give to your pastor is to stay on your knees. My God, when the devil comes after him, stay on your knees. When the devil comes after his wife, stay on your knees. When he comes after his children, stay on your knees. Because in protecting him, you protect yourself. In the Caribbean, they use a saying called cut off your face or cut off your nose. Cut off your nose to spite your face. Same thing happens in church. Some people will hurt themselves to hurt somebody else. And you've got to understand, maturity always says, where God needs to straighten the pastor, let him do it. Where God needs to turn the pastor, let him do it. Where God needs to correct the pastor, let him do it. Because he is under God's appointment. Your job is to pray for him and to cover him. When this lady says it doesn't take much to destroy a pastor, I felt the fear run through my body. And then I says, you know, I'm here as your pastor to serve you. And my one job and one goal is to help get you in heaven. That's what. I didn't come here to run your life. I didn't come here to make you unhappy. My one assignment is to help you get into the kingdom. And after I prayed with her, and God knows, even while I was praying, my heart wasn't in the prayer. While I was praying, I was still thinking that this woman could destroy me. And I'm here to tell you, when I got outside her house and got into my car, all of a sudden I felt a spirit of depression just sit on my shoulders. And I begin to think, oh God, I am vulnerable. But then I hear the voice of the Lord say, you are not vulnerable. Nobody can destroy you. No weapon that comes against you shall prosper, because I, God, have put a hedge around you. My God, there's a hedge around you that nobody can touch you. There's a hedge around you. You need to declare over your life, there is a hedge around me. Oh my God, it was like the Lord changed my darkness into light. I felt like the car lit up. My God, I put the sunroof back, put on some gospel music, and went down the road rejoicing. Why? My help is the Lord. My help is the Lord. My help, my help, my help, my help is the Lord. And no weapon that's formed against you. And so God says to the devil, have you looked at my servant Job? And the devil says, The only reason he's serving you is because you have blessed him and you have put a wall of protection. Here's what the devil testified. Oh, I need to put a sermon on the devil's testimony, because it wasn't God who said it. It was the devil who said it. He says, you have put a hedge around him. You have put a hedge around his family. You have put a hedge around his property. You have put a hedge around his health. You have covered him all. Comprehensive insurance. And then he put the challenge to God. He says, allow me to touch him and he will curse you to your face. The devil puts a challenge to God. And because God knew Job, does God know you? Oh, my Lord, have mercy. If the devil should put a challenge to God tonight, with your name on it, does God know you enough to say, I can trust you? And God says to the devil, I know him. He's a man who serves me with the right motives. And God heard the devil's next challenge. You really believe it? You really believe what you're saying? He says, allow me to touch him and prove you wrong. And God says, I know Job, and I know Job has a perfect heart. You can touch him, Satan, but you can't take his life. Oh, my God. Do you realize the devil can? People can look at you and hate you for nothing. You can get up and sing a song and the Lord gets the glory and the anointing comes down and you think people are going to celebrate you. Instead, they sit back and wait for you to mess up. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. There are some people, they will look at you and they will smile in your face and they'll tell you how they love you, but they're waiting to see you fail. But here's what God said. You can touch him, but you can't take his life. And the Bible says, and Job was in his house, and one day a servant comes and said, Job, I was at a certain place and the Sabaeans came over and destroyed all your possession and destroyed everyone except me, Job. And I have come to give you. Have you ever gotten bad news? And while the person is giving you the bad news, somebody has comes and says, the winds came and just blew and destroyed all this area, and I'm the only one left. And while the person is telling Job, another person comes up and have no idea what Job has just heard and says, Job, your children were having a party. Your 7 boys and your 3 daughters, and they were having a wonderful party. And my God, the winds destroyed and wiped out everybody. And Job, only I escaped. And Job had every reason to stop coming to church. Job had every reason to close his Bible. Job had every reason to stop singing the songs of Zion. My God, Job had every reason to get upset with the church. And the Bible says, and when Job heard all the bad news, the Bible says, and Job fell on his face, tore his clothes, and the Bible said these words, and Job worshipped. Oh, what we call worship is not worship. What we call worship, I mean, one person said praise and worship. Praise is what you give God thanks for. Oh, my God, you don't. When you just got married, you don't need anybody to tell you to give God thanks. You just got a promotion. You can't wait to come to church to give God some praise. You get a nice car. You can't wait. Can you let me park up to the front because God has just blessed me? You can't wait, oh my God, to boast on your praise. Because praise is what you praise Him for. But there's a place called worship. Worship is when you're single, divorced, widowed, alone. But in the midst of your loneliness, you can still worship God. Worship is when you don't have a car to show up at church, but you show up anyhow. Oh my God, worship is when you can touch God and thank Him, not for what He did, but for who He is. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Oh, you see what happened? There's a place in worship when it's not what God did. I'll tell you something. God has done so much for us. It is a shame how ungrateful we are. You travel this world over. God has opened the door, and I've traveled several countries. And I'll tell you, people, grown folks, dream of coming to America. In this country, you could be unemployed and still driving a nice car. Unemployed and still watching satellite. Unemployed and still have more than... Here's what happened in this country. God has blessed us with so much. But the problem is, in spite of our blessing, it has not made us worship Him. We are probably the most ungrateful generation that God has seen in years. We come to church and we act as if we're doing God a favor. Somebody says, shall we stand together and just worship God? I'm tired. I've been on the train all day. Here's what happens if the cop pulled you over and says, stand up. You see how quickly you stand. But it's church, you see. And so we have brought an irreverence to the house. Oh, my God. When I look at the disobedience in the house of God, it breaks my heart. We go into the court, and the judge walks in. And we stand up. The president walks in, and we all stand up. And we say, come, let's worship God. Let's worship God. Let's worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's celebrate God. Let's give God a praise offering. And the same people who are so blessed are the same people who go, I think I stand up tomorrow. Because what happens is, we don't understand worship. So we come to the Lord, always asking for something. God, could you give me that promotion? God, could you give me that house? God, and we have turned God into a Santa Claus that says, I will only worship you if you give me what I want. My God, oh my God, I feel in my spirit tonight that God is calling this church. Here's what He said. He said, if you will lift me up from this earth, He said, I will draw all men unto you. In other words, when we lift Him up, He draws all men unto Him. And the beautiful thing is that though Job was tested, the Bible says he did not sin. Why could Job be tested and did not sin? Number one, he trusted the character of God. You know why we get so bent out of shape every time trouble comes? We don't trust God. we sing that we trust God. Or you hear from, what a mighty God we serve. And the pastor says, let's take an offering for the building. And all of a sudden, our mighty God goes silent. We have just enough faith for, no, I'm telling you. Well, let me put you a notice. I hope I'm not messing up with your, I was sitting there and I'm saying, God, we can have this service tonight. And after we pray and we go home, we have another service tomorrow. And after that service is over, we come back on Sunday and we have another service. And we go right back. And here's what the Lord says. Here's what the Lord says. Call the church to give a revival offering. A sacrificial offering that costs you something. Because the reason our blessings are delayed is not because God has forgotten, but he can't trust you. So we sing something we don't believe. How great thou art! How great thou art! And God says, step out of your boat and you go. We sing a lie. We sing something we don't believe. You know what God is calling this church? To a level of worship that can bring deliverance to your pocketbook. A level of worship that everything the devil uses to hold you captive is released in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because faith is believing God for something you can't see. Faith is saying, I don't see it yet, but I can feel God calling me to a greater place. Here's what happens. Let me close. Job did not sin. Even when his wife tried to discourage him. Because when you know God, your husband can't stop you from coming to church. When you know God, your wife can't stop you from tithing. When you know God, you can't come tell me, oh, my family's upset. When you know God, nobody stands between you and God. And Job was able to maintain his integrity because he trusted God. Sometimes you meet a stranger and they ask you, who are you? What business do you do? How many of us carry a business card? Raise your hands. A business card. So when I introduce myself, I meet somebody for the first time, they may say, can I have your business card? And on the business card is my name, the church I serve, my qualifications, if whatever it works, and how to reach me, my telephone number. It dawned on me some time ago that God doesn't carry a business card. And why doesn't God carry a business card? Because he doesn't need a wallet. And he surely doesn't need a little card. Because when you begin to call the name of God, no business card can capture his essence. But then it dawned on me that you are his business card. You know what God was saying to Job? Job, I have such integrity. I have such confidence in you that you are my business card. So Job, when you worship, Job, when I bless you, Job, when I give you prosperity, your integrity is my business card. When the world looks at you, can they see God? When you go to work, can they discern God in your life? Because the average Christian lives the same way as the unbeliever. The only difference between the average Christian and the unbeliever is that we know when to show up at church. But in our lives, in our thinking, in our relationships, no difference. Let's stand together. Let us stand together tonight. Because you see what happens, friends. God could trust Job because Job trusted God. When you are tested tomorrow, and it seems like all that you hold is slipping through your fingers, can you still worship? Can you worship when you go to your job and they give you a pink slip that says we're cutting back? Can you worship if you were to walk out of this building tonight and tragedy hit your home? Could you worship? Oh my God, it is amazing how easy it is to have the answers when we're not the ones feeling the pain. Anybody can advise you when you are going through something, but you watch them when they're going through something. In other words, it's when you're going through something and you can maintain your integrity that the world can take you serious. The truth, my friends, is that most unbelievers who grew up around churches have lost faith in the church. They know the games we play. They know the hypocrisy. They see us in church Sunday, but they meet us at the casino. They see you in church Sunday, but they see you in the club on Friday. They see you in church on Sunday using your Christian language. But when things don't go your way, they hear you swear. They hear you use the name of God in vain. And the world has lost faith in the church. Here's what happens. If God was to say to the devil tonight, I can trust Paul. I can trust Bill. I can trust Mary. Would you pass the test? Because your faith means nothing until it is tested. I want us to bow our heads. I want us to bow our heads tonight. Because maybe you're going through a test. Maybe your faith is tested. You say, Pastor, I may be smiling on the outside, but I just got the news from the doctor that is causing me anxiety. On the outside, I may look like I have it together, but preacher, my marriage is falling apart. You may say, on the outside, I look like I'm having the victory, but on the inside, my world is falling apart. You didn't come here by accident tonight. God designed an appointment with you because he wants you to know that when he has allowed the devil to test you, even when he allows the devil to try you, the devil can't take your life because there is a hedge of protection around you. Now here's what happens. My first car, I must confess, when I drove my first car, it never had insurance. My brother-in-law who sold me the car was a police officer. So every time they pulled me over, I would say, it's my brother-in-law's car. And they would just, have you ever driven a car without insurance? The thing about driving a car without insurance, you can't hit anybody and they can't hit you. Because if they hit you and you have no insurance, you know who is already wrong? You are already wrong. But I remember the first time I had a car that was comprehensively insured. Oh, what a confidence that gave me. You drive down the road, and even if somebody hit you, you knew that insurance was paid up. Well, here's what happens. Are you covered? Are you sincerely seeking to serve God? Or are you on the defense? You love God one day, but on the other day, you're working for the devil. Well, a revival is when the church comes together at the altar. I'm going to invite you tonight, if you're here tonight, and you say, preacher, there's an issue in my home. I need God's grace. Would you step out from your seats and just meet me at this altar? Maybe you're going through some situation, some crisis. Maybe you didn't even plan to come to church tonight, but God ordained it that you'll be here. Why? For you to hear a word of encouragement that even in your darkest moments, don't lose your faith. Jesus, in praying for Peter, said something that has always amazed me. He says, Simon, 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 Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But he says, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. What is God saying to Simon? You can lose a house and still keep your faith. You can lose your health and still keep your faith. Because as long as you can keep your faith, you can make it through whatever comes your way. Say, when you say, Pastor, I'm going through. You don't have to lose your faith. We're going to close our eyes and I'm going to invite you. For those who have a serious need for God's intervention, to just meet me here at this altar. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to pray God's grace and protection over your life, because I'm here to remind you by the authority of God's words, there is a hedge around you, a hedge around you, a hedge around your family, a hedge around your possession, a hedge around your welfare. That's the word tonight. There's a hedge around you. And even when you are tested, you don't have to lose your faith. Would you just meet me here at this altar? Would you just come forward, say, Pastor, I need God's grace. I need a miracle in my life. I need God to work. I need God to turn my life around. I can't continue living. At some point or the other, we need to get desperate with God. We can no longer play the religious game. We can no longer be doing church as usual. God wants to do something fresh in our lives. And I'm going to pray for you tonight that God by his Spirit will lay his hands upon you tonight and bring deliverance to your life. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, oh God, as your children. God, you have called us unto yourself. Tonight, God, as we have come into your house, you have spoken to our hearts.
God, you know the areas in our lives that Satan has been coming against us. Your words declare the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But you said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, we come against the plan of the enemy. We come against the attack of the evil one. Tonight, oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus, do a work in your son. Do a work in this young man tonight, that God will shake him out of complacency and cause him, oh God, to rise in the high places. Tonight I pray, God, pour your spirit afresh upon his life. Spirit of the living God, stir the gifts in his life. God, we look around. So many of our young men seem to be on the sidelines. But tonight, Satan, we come against you tonight. We come against your plans. We come against your attack. And we claim, Almighty God, your perfect will. Oh, begin to see God tonight. Begin to worship God. Begin to open your heart. Allow God to do his work in your life tonight. Father God, your daughter stands before you tonight. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, Heavenly Father, you know the areas in which the enemy is trying to sieve her. You know the area that the enemy is trying to discourage her, to destroy her faith. But remind her tonight, you have raised her up for such a time as this. Would you speak to her heart, O Lord? And remind her, Almighty God, you are working on her behalf. Tonight, I pray, establish her, Lord. God, remind her there's a hedge around her. God, you have built a hedge of protection around her. And so when the enemy comes against her, Lord, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. So tonight we pray, Lord, release your spirit afresh in her life, oh God. And I pray that you will do the work in her life. Tonight, Lord, we pray for a fresh moving of your spirit in your daughter, Lord. Tonight, Lord, in your name. God, I ask that you do a fresh work. God, touch her. Pour your spirit afresh. God, in the areas of sloth, in the areas, God, where she seems to be vacillating, I pray tonight that you'll raise up a standard. Heavenly Father, raise up a standard. Let her stand in the high places as an intercessor. You have not brought her, Lord, just to be at a holding place, but you have caused her to grow in thee. Tonight I pray, Almighty God, cause her to rise in the high places. And even when the forces of hell seem to come against her house, remind her, Lord, she's under your covering. She's under your divine, comprehensive insurance, and the devil can't touch her. Tonight I pray, Lord, that you do your fresh work in her life. Tonight, oh God, I pray you lay your hands upon your daughter in the name of Jesus. God, I pray tonight that God, you do a fresh work. Revive her heart. Revive her spirit. And remind her, God, that you have called her to a place in thee where she can hear the still small voice of the Lord. Tonight we pray, lift discouragement. God, when the enemy will try to discourage her spirit, lift her above every test and remind her, Lord, that when you allow the enemy to test her, you are showing off your glory for others to see. And so I pray tonight, oh Lord, would you build her faith and strengthen her in her walk with you, that she might experience a closer walk with you, Lord. And tonight, Heavenly Father, we receive it tonight, I pray. Let God, that you'll encourage the heart of your daughter. God, you know the areas that the enemy would come against her, where the enemy would try to discourage tonight. God, we all go through those places where we feel dry. But tonight, in the name of Jesus, cause the waters to pour again. Tonight I pray that you will, oh God, cause the waters to flood her parched soul. For Lord, wherever the river flows, God, there's a revival. So revive her soul, we pray. Revive her soul, oh Lord, for your glory. Heal us, Messiah, in the name of Jesus. Tonight, oh God, we declare your perfect will in her life for your glory. For your glory, for your glory. We pray these things, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Spirit of the living God, tonight as your daughter stands before you, Lord, I pray that you strengthen her feeble steps. God, remind her you're committed, Lord. You are the one who has brought her thus far. And God, you will lead her all the way home. And so tonight I pray, with your cause I pray, to stand strong in thee and to trust you, oh God, to do the work you have ordained in her life. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness tonight. Thank you, oh God. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
Though the waters, thank you, Lord, are raging,
thank you, Father,
there will do you no harm. Don't give up the battle, for your answer is coming. Just hold on to Jesus, and you can ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. You can ride out a storm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Ride out your
As we pause for one moment, before we complete the song, I, as the Lord laid upon my heart, the word of the Lord says, I will build my church. I love Bishop Eric. He has asked me to do things that sometimes I have to cancel something else, because I'm committed to see God's will in his life and this church. And I want you to understand that God is faithful. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell. I don't care where the gates of hell shows up in your life. Here's what God says. I have already given you the victory, but you can't have revival and not tied. We can't talk about revival and be robbers. It doesn't make sense. We can't claim revival while we're still walking in disobedience. We can't say, God, pour your blessings. Why? If we can't be faithful, my parents taught us to tithe when we were children. And then my dad would say, if you earn $10, $1 belongs to who? God. $10 for a kid who needed the money. But he says, if you can't pay God when you have $10, you'll never pay God when you have $1,000. It's a principle. And we cannot claim the blessings of God while in the same breaths we're robbing God. I'm just the word of the Lord. And God laid upon my heart to lay the foundation. You know why God doesn't show up more often? We don't expect him to. So if you ask most church members, what do you think God's going to do tonight? They give you a blank stare. We don't expect God to do anything. So when God works a miracle, we are shocked. It's a shame because we are the people of God. And if we are the people of God who are under the covenant of God, every time we come into the house of the Lord, there should be excitement. What is God going to do? Why? Because we are doing our part. And God says a revival is not a revival unless my people turn. And I am challenging you. I think you have the, I'm going to take a seed. I'm sure my wife has a checkbook. But we're going to sow a seed. And I'm going to invite every person tonight who can sow a sacrificial seed. This money is not going to me. It's not going to your pastor. It is an investment in where God is taking this church. Are you with me? I have my own church. I have had my own bills to worry about. But I feel in my spirit that God wants to release an unusual blessing over this house. So when you come tomorrow, you have already invested from yesterday. When you come on Sunday, you have already sown the seed. You can't expect a harvest when you refuse to even sow a seed. So I'm going to sow the first seed. And while the worship team is singing, I'm not telling you how much, but it must be a sacrifice. And we're going to put it in this basket. And we're going to pray God's blessings over it. Because the rest of the revival can't be business as usual. Tonight is starting night. Can somebody say amen? Amen.
Lord, we come to you tonight in the spirit of obedience. We've sown seed into this good ground. We break every cycle of poverty in our lives and in this ministry. We release abundance and increase upon your people tonight in the name of Jesus. We break every chain, glory to God, of being broken, my God, being in lack tonight. And we believe in the power and in the miraculous work of a living God who says he will build his church tonight. And God, we come into partnership as we give a sacrificial gift to the work of this ministry. God, you've seen the work, and God, you've seen the sacrifice. Now we give even more of our sacrificial gift to you. We believe, God, that the windows of heaven, they're going to be an open door of financial release upon your people in ways we never experienced before. Lord, it will indeed be a miracle, my God, confirming your word tonight unto us. Even now, our faith has moved to another level of experiencing the supernatural finances in our lives. And so, God, we dedicate these gifts, hallelujah, even as you build a hedge round about our lives, and you build a hedge round about our finances, and you build a hedge around our jobs and our families and our bodies. Lord, we thank you in abundance because we realize, God, that Job had more than he had before. We thank you for having more than we ever had before. As we respond in obedience to your word. And we thank you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and the church say, amen.